and 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
I understand that Sparky Adamson has a plaque on the door of his office in the Detroit clubhouse that reads, each 24 hours the world turns over and someone's sitting on top of it. I just hope I can sit up here on top of it just a little while longer.
Those are the words of Hall of Fame second baseman Bobby Doerr. He spoke them in 1985. He passed away today at the age of 99, so it's safe to say that he stayed on top of the world for just a little bit longer, as he said there. Welcome in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn. Wanted to give a nod out to the silent captain, maybe Ed in Iowa City, and some of our Red Sox fans listening to the program would appreciate that. Longest living and oldest Hall of Famer. No Hall of Famer had ever lived to 99. Bobby Doerr, classy gentleman, the silent captain of the 1940s Red Sox, passing away. Great show coming up for you today. A $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill is going to be yours before 7 o'clock tonight. LaCantina319.com is their website. Check them out. They've got three locations, one in Marion and two in Cedar Rapids, including their newest location in the Fountains off Edgewood. They've got a great party room there. If you're looking to have a gathering of any sort, you can look into using it. LaCantina319.com, again, is the website, and we'll hook you up with that $30 gift certificate before we're off the air tonight. I am a liar, and I want to get that out of the way right now because I think it's important that I was raised to believe that you are a man of your word, and your word is the most valuable thing that you could possibly offer another human being. And so I'm going to disappoint somebody coming up at the bottom of the hour. Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette is going to be with us. We'll talk Hawkeye football and basketball. Guess who's not getting his own introduction today on the program? I just didn't have time to get it ready, and I'm a liar. No. So I'm going to have to own that with Jeremiah.
There were extenuating circumstances,
now,
Todd.
I'm still going to give him 90 seconds of good NASCAR. I mean, hell, you heard it there. Somebody Xfinity Series something, 11 laps. I don't know. Maybe Jeremiah can fill us in. And he can let us in on the little beef that was going on Twitter yesterday between him and somebody else who's on the show every once in a while. You know what? I'm going to give him a 90 seconds, a platform. Today. How about that? He can talk NASCAR for 45 seconds, and then he can talk Pop-Tarts for the other 45. We are also going to check in one final time with Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com. Lots of interesting things going on in the world of baseball. The awards, postseason awards, are starting to come out. Rookies of the Year named yesterday. Unanimous selections in both the AL and the NL. Yankees are still looking for a manager, and it's looking increasingly more and more like the Cardinals and the Cubs are going to see some big changes this offseason. And you know what? The White Sox could have a very interesting offseason as well, according to Rick Hahn. Nobody's off limits. 319-366-1600. That's the Hertine and Stocker text line. You can use it to reach out to us before 7 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk about a number of things, including what the college football playoff rankings will likely look like tonight. When they are released now, the last 2 weeks, they've come out at 6 o'clock. And because of the Champions Classic tonight, they will come out at halftime of the Duke-Michigan State game. So not at 6 o'clock. That's because Duke and Michigan State tip off at 6 o'clock. So a little added suspense this week. And I think if you're a fan of the Miami Hurricanes and a couple other programs, you're going to be watching that Duke-Michigan State game, even if you're not a fan of college basketball. By the way, for those of you so inclined, and I'm doing everything in my power not to talk about Iowa State and the embarrassing loss that the Cyclones saw. I use that word a lot, but that's embarrassing to lose to a team that's picked to finish eighth in the Horizon League and to do so in your home opener. First time in 20 years Iowa State has lost the home opener. We're going to get into it here today as well, but here's something for all of you degenerates out there who may or may not be planning on wagering on tonight's Duke-Michigan State basketball game. This blew me away. Alex, you tell me if you believe this statistic.
Okay.
But I vetted it. It is not fake news, so to speak.
Extremely.
Mike Krzyzewski is 10-1 all time as a head coach against Tom Izzo, and 8-1 against Izzo when both teams are ranked. I had no idea that Mike Krzyzewski owned Tom Izzo and the Spartans.
So that counts
as head coach.
Postseason play. I don't know if they've played in the postseason in the past 10 or so years. That is a surprising statistic because both of those programs are usually right next to each other in the rankings.
I would have thought Michigan State maybe had another win or two there. But that's thorough domination by Coach Krzyzewski. The other game in that Champions Classic tonight is Kansas and Kentucky. So you got the number 1 and 2 team in the country leading into number 4 versus number 7. And it's the middle of November right now. It may as well be the middle of March. Those are two great basketball games. If you love college basketball, you're set tonight.
This is usually the point where I think the college basketball really starts. And the past few years, it's been the college football marathon tip-off where ESPN has games for 24 hours straight. They didn't do that this year, but it ended with the Champions Classic where you had these big-time matchups, and I'm glad they didn't get rid of them because they have been very entertaining in the past few years. And I think they give the fans and give us the first peek at some of these talented freshmen, some of these one-and-done guys that we're only going to see for a few months before they go to the NBA. But this point of the year, these two games tonight are usually when I think, okay, well, college basketball is underway, even though it's right in the middle of college football season.
Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa players met the media earlier today in Iowa City. Purdue on the horizon this week. In full disclosure, I was not there today because I was attending to some more family business this week. But if I look in not going to the game in Madison on Saturday and then not being there today, if I were any more disconnected from the program, I could host a radio program in Des Moines. I'll just say that right now. That's how far removed from Iowa football I feel right
now.
Shade
thrown.
But they stood in front of the media today, and it took forever. There were very few questions about last week's game against Wisconsin. And it's just as if everybody wants to pretend that that game never took place. But it did, and it's hard to ignore, but it's also hard to ignore the fact that Iowa's got two games remaining on its schedule, and they're both winnable, including the one Saturday against Purdue, which I think had David Blau been healthy for this game, maybe you look at it a little bit differently, but without him, the Boilermakers, I don't think, are much of a football team this year. He really did seem to thrive under Jeff Brohm. And we'll see what type of football contest we all view Saturday. Now, we'll break it down for you before and after. Before the boom, coming your way at 12:30 on Saturday on our FM frequencies. And then after, the final gun is going to fire off immediately after the game is over Saturday. And the gang, minus me, will be at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. That's because I'm going to be at Kinnick Stadium for that game. And if you missed last night's conversation about the coaching carousel, it took place in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll have a little bit of something to add to that today because there is a rule in the SEC that could possibly throw a little cold water on the Chip Kelly to either Florida or Tennessee speculation. So we'll get to that coming up in a little bit. You look like you had something else to say.
No, I just wanted to say yada, yada, yada once again and not use it in a context that was appropriate, unlike I did yesterday. But no, the press conference in Iowa City today, it was really interesting that the Wisconsin game wasn't talked about much. And I know in the past Kirk doesn't really like to dive in on specifics, and you're not going to get much out of him anyways. But I'm just interested to see the way that this season will play out, and we'll get back to college basketball in a little bit. But if Iowa holds serve and goes 8-4, which I think they're going to do, I think Purdue, this game on Saturday is going to be very ugly because Purdue plays good defense. They're not a good offensive team. And I think Iowa at this point, you can pretty much say that's what they are as well, but for a couple of games this year. And if they beat Nebraska at the end of the season, we always talk about how you look back at a year, how you look back, how will you look back at this 2017 season? And I think it's once again going to rely on whether they can get over that bowl game hurdle, regardless of who it's against. If they can go 8-4, if they win their bowl game and go 9-4, then it's going to be looked at favorably. If not, it's going to be looked at as another roller coaster. It's just these last 3 weeks have been up or down, up, and then back down.
I just took a peek at the Hurtine and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. Iowa State fans are not happy that I referred to last night's loss as embarrassing. Well, it is. And it's no more or less embarrassing than Iowa losing to Omaha last year at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. But look, you can make excuses all you want. I have a feeling if the shoe were on the other foot, I would know exactly which. The text line of Monte Morris is gone. This guy's gone. That guy's gone. Doesn't matter.
They lost by 18 at home. They lost to Milwaukee.
Yes. And as Scott Unash said, that ain't the Greek Freak and the Bucks. This was a University of Milwaukee team picked to finish eighth in the Horizon League. Okay? So when you haven't lost a home opener in 20 years and you lose it, and not just on a last second heave from half court, but you lose it by that margin, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to call. Look, I'm not afraid to upset people or offend people. If your team lost it, look, what happened to Iowa in Madison last weekend in football is downright absolutely beyond embarrassing, because you had the world in the palm of your hand after beating Ohio State, and then you come back 66 yards, and Cajun Troy is pointing that out on the text line. Yeah.
Embarrassing. Okay.
And you know what this goes back to? This is whataboutism. And this is just, it's one of the things that is absolutely crippling this country. And I'll say that right now, because I'm tired of it in virtually every aspect of discussion.
Deflection?
Whataboutism. Well, you're talking about Iowa State and they lost a game, and then what does everybody come back with? Iowa State fan, well, what about Iowa? What about Iowa, Wisconsin? Well, yeah. Did I not acknowledge that yesterday? And you talk about, you know, Iowa, and then it's, well, what about this? What about that? Iowa State. It's just, we got to get beyond this stuff, okay? Iowa had its moment in the pig pen yesterday. We talked about 66 yards offense till we were blue in the face. And I'm going to sit here and look, Iowa State needs to put the ball in the basket. They got to do a better job shooting.
And they got to keep it out of the basket on the other end as well.
And look, that Iowa-Iowa State game this year may set records for lack of defense played. I mean, that may look like an NBA All-Star game this year. Go ahead and put me down for the over on the Iowa-Iowa State. Whatever it is, I want to put a sizable wager on the over, because neither team right now is looking like they're capable of playing much defense. Look, let's go to the phone line. So 319-366-1600. What about this? What about that? Sonny in Iowa City wants to talk college basketball. Go ahead, Sonny.
Well, I'll hit on a couple things that you talked about there. The whataboutism is really bad. I mean, Iowa got thoroughly embarrassed in Wisconsin, no doubt. Iowa State, you cannot tell me. You ask every single person on that text line whether or not they predicted a loss by that margin prior to that game. And if they say, oh, yeah, we were going to get crushed by Milwaukee, then, you know, all right, I'll give you a pass on that. That was embarrassing. It was embarrassing for Iowa State, just like the football game was embarrassing for Iowa. Iowa had a rough week right here. With regards to college basketball, I think that college basketball does this better than any sport in America right now, and that is create the hype by having fabulous matchups early on in the season. It's been, I don't know what, not, I guess it's only 6 months, right? Like, college basketball actually has a fairly long season. But it's been a long time since college basketball, and those guys managed to consistently put huge marquee programs head-to-head like that when they're not ready for a lot on the line. You could argue that it's not as important as football because you can have losses in college basketball. I mean, it's rare that somebody goes undefeated. But still, it's impressive. And so, you know, my hat is off to college basketball for putting what would be like the greatest Final Four of all time if you had these four teams in it.
Appreciate the phone call, Sonny, and that is going to give us a great discussion topic here. Really quick, though, last night I went back and looked this up. Iowa State was a 15.5-point favorite in that game last night. Not necessarily saying that Vegas odds are the be-all, end-all, but that tells you, and this is, remember, this is Hilton, this is a magic place. This is the place where Kansas and the rest of the Big 12, and I'm not saying this facetiously, if this building is so magic that teams go there and they crumble, well, did somebody sprinkle fairy dust on Milwaukee last? I mean, just stop with the excuses. It's going to be a long season, and you just hope that Iowa State and that roster grows into things as it readies itself for Big 12 play. Why can't people look at their teams and say, you know what, this is not very good? It's got to be excuse, or it's got to be what about the other team? Ow. They just, I wouldn't say they laid an egg last night. I think they are who they are at this point. And the Missouri game, stand alone. Forget that. That was on the road, and it was against a Power 5 team. This was against a team that's picked to finish in the bottom half of the Horizon League.
That Missouri game was a warning sign for me because it was without possibly the number one overall draft pick in the NBA, in this upcoming NBA draft, and Michael Porter Jr. here. He only played 2 minutes of the game and then left with an injury. So I thought, oh, that's not a great start for Iowa State. And then last night was just about as bad as you can look. And you knew that this was going to be a rebuilding year. We just didn't know what degree it was going to be. And I just said this, and I'm kind of being facetious, but kind of serious at the same time. They have nowhere to go but up from last night. And I guess that's good news if you're an Iowa State fan. Can't get much worse than that.
We've got bad news for Hawkeye football fans because somebody is starting to make appearances in the top 25 draft prospect lists. You can imagine who it is if you've watched the Hawkeyes the last 3 or 4 weeks, but I will get to that coming up in just a little bit. Again, Jeremiah Davis with us at the bottom of the hour from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll talk a little football and basketball with him. You'll hear from Kirk Ferentz and the players coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to play Kirk Roulette today. I haven't heard any of these things, and we're just going to...
We're going to bring out the wheel?
No, we're just going to randomly punch buttons and see what we hear. It's all going
to
be Kirk. It's going to be Kirk Ferentz audio. I have no idea what it is. Sonny, by the way, great topic. And I'm going to... 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to circle back around to this, but let's head back to the phone lines here. Let's go to Adele. Let's bring Kevin in. Kevin, what's up?
I was wondering, what were you setting the over-under for the Iowa and Iowa State basketball game?
What would I set it at?
Yeah.
First team to 85 probably wins.
Well, I got it at 150. I don't know why you don't think that we're going to stop their offense.
Well, who's we? Are you an Iowa fan or an Iowa State fan?
I'm an Iowa fan, 82 to 68.
Okay.
Conservatively.
Okay, let's see. Mark this down on the November 14th. We're already taking wagers or already placing. I like the optimism, but show me anything in, 7, 8 years Fran McCaffrey's been in Iowa City. Show me one of his teams where the defense has been a strong suit.
I know it's not going to be great when I ask Mac McCausland if they're going to improve, and he tells me they're going to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, we had Mac on the program yesterday, who sometimes makes Baghdad Bob, Saddam Hussein's old PR guy. You remember Baghdad Bob? Sometimes Mac carries a little bit too much of the Hawkeye water. And when Mac said yesterday, they're going to have their moments defensively, that's red lights and warnings. Let's go keep it here in Cedar Rapids and bring Andrew on board. Andrew, go ahead.
Oh, hey, guys.
How's it going, Andrew?
Pretty good. Hey, got a question for you. I know I'm an Iowa fan, but, you know, I still watch Iowa State. They're 0-2, and I believe in the media they were picked 9th in the Big 12. How much of a pass does Steve Prohm get this year? Thanks, and I'll listen, guys.
I wouldn't necessarily say that he gets a pass. Look, here, I'll say this about Steve Prohm. He's got a hell of a recruiting class coming in. This team right now isn't at full strength. Cameron Lard didn't play again last night, right? So they're still waiting to get the gang all together here. But you lose Monte Morris. You lose a lot of the other complementary pieces. That was an extremely talented and senior-laden Iowa State team.
Yes.
Okay? But when you're in a Power 5 conference, dude, you got to reload. You got to reload next year. You can't play this up and down. Now, this is where the PJ Fleck, this is what success graph looks like, if you're familiar with that, because Iowa State's going to have its ups and downs this year. I'm offending everybody right and left today. I love this, and it wasn't my intention.
To answer that question, I think he probably will get, not necessarily a pass, but he's going to get through this season no matter what happens without people questioning him too much. But like you said, you have to reload, and next year, if this team doesn't make huge improvements and at least get back into contention for the NCAA tournament, then you're going to start to hear rumblings.
Oh, there are a lot of teams in this country that would absolutely die to have his recruiting class that's coming in. He's doing great work. He's getting the Chicago kids to come in. I didn't mean in saying that he doesn't get a free pass this year that there's any pressure on. No, not at all. But the expectations from the fan base are going to be there. And it's going to be tough because if you're stomaching these losses now, imagine what it's going to be like if you're slogging through the Big 12 season. And remember how up in arms everybody was about Iowa 8th and Iowa State 9th in the preseason. Well, I could actually be onto something here. 427, your call here on Cyclone Tim. He's probably going to yell at me. Tim, what's up? Tim, go ahead.
Got a question. I know that on the message boards, Iowa State fans were preaching patience for this year because they're supposed to be so bad. And now that they've gone 0-2, I've noticed a lot of kind of mini panic going on. It's like they're not going to stay this bad all season long. Are they going to be really good? Probably not. Maybe at the end of the season they'll show promise. But I think as Cyclone fans, you got to preach a whole lot of patience right now.
Yeah, and that goes back to something that somebody said after the Ohio State game. Faith is always strongest after the fact, but it's in a similar vein where you can say you're going to preach patience. Back in September, October, media day, you're looking at this team. It's really easy for fans to sit there and say, "Patience, patience, patience. I'm going to be a patient person."
And then you lose to Milwaukee.
You lose, and you're 0-2, and that same person is hitting the panic button. I get it. I understand why fans would change their line of thinking. But if you thought, and many Iowa State fans did, because I talked to them a couple months ago, we all knew what the season was going to be for the Cyclones. If you preached patience in August or September or October, then you got to be preaching patience in November. You can't change your tune after two games. 319-366-1600. Quick timeout and Kyle, or do we keep it here for Kyle? You tell me. Okay, I'm being told we can take a quick timeout. John Fox is telling me to take a quick timeout here. We'll go to the booth, and when we return, Kyle's going to have your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day.
Hi, I'm Douglas Hass. Are you wasting time worrying about timekeeping and scheduling instead of calling the plays for your business? The pros at Future Systems can handle all of your scheduling and timekeeping needs. With web-based timekeeping, your team can clock in whether they're at home or away. And when you add integrated scheduling, you can avoid a penalty flag for having too many players on the field. Call the All-Americans at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, why have you been shredding for hours?
The boss said we should cut costs, Mr. Employee of the Month.
How does this cut costs?
These are the expense reports for the whole year.
You shredded them all?
Thanks to me, our expenses this year are zero.
If you don't mind hiring Dave's, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Great stuff so far. Keep the texts coming. 319-366-1600. Remember, we've still got that $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill that we're going to put in somebody's hands before 7 o'clock today as well. Right now, I'm putting the show in the hands of Kyle. He's here with your first Midwest One Bank Big Board Update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media in Iowa City today. He says safety Amani Hooker has not practiced this week, and while he doesn't want to officially rule him out, he admits his likelihood of being available is decreasing by the day. The UNI men's team had much more success against Alcorn State than it did against North Carolina last Friday, claiming its first win last night, 73-45 in Cedar Falls. Juwan McLeod led with 18 points, all those coming from the three ball, while both Tywan Pickford and Bennett Cook logged double-doubles, 16-10 and 11-13 respectively. Iowa State, however, will have to wait at least a couple more days for its first win. They fell last night to Milwaukee inside Hilton Coliseum, 74-56. It was the first loss in a home opener since 1997, and not to pile on, but it really wasn't very good. The Cyclones turned the ball over 18 times with only 5 assists, shot 38% from the floor, and were out-rebounded by a school picked 8th in the 10-team Horizon League. The good news is that Iowa State wasn't at full strength and does hope to have Cameron Lard and Hans Braze back for the Puerto Rico tip-off later this week. We had so many weekly awards for various Hawkeyes yesterday, I didn't even mention Iowa State's Bridget Carlson being named the Big 12 Women's Player of the Week. We'll have her and the Cyclone Ladies on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, taking on UNI right after our show. And as has already been talked about, there's a lot of college basketball tonight. We're going to be joining top-ranked Duke and number 2 Michigan State in progress from the Champions Classic in Chicago, followed by number 4 Kansas and number 7 Kentucky. Those can be heard on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
10-1 all-time against Tom Izzo, Coach Krzyzewski is. And I love this. Iowa State fans complain I never talk enough about the Cyclones, and then when I do talk about the Cyclones, I'm being a homer because they lost and I'm beating up on them. Trust me, you would not have wanted to hear what I would have said about Iowa if the Hawkeyes had lost to Chicago State. Back with more after this.
Do you have 3 ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy 3 times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-222-9133. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number 2. Call Term Provider at 800-222-9133. That's 800-222-9133. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-222-9133. 800-222-9133.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. Third college football playoff rankings of the season released tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN TV and the ESPN app. Miami widely expected to jump from 7th to 2nd tonight, courtesy of that big win over Notre Dame. For more, you can now check out Sports Center on Snapchat. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones told 105.3 The Fan in Dallas he won't back off the threat of suing the NFL and several other owners if the compensation committee reaches an agreement with Commissioner Roger Goodell on an extension. Jones was removed as an ad hoc member of the committee when he brought up the possibility of legal action. When it comes to Goodell, Jones has to capitalize on being the highest profile owner in the league, believes Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban.
Jerry's got to take advantage of this moment of time. He's got to fight for it no matter what. And I think all the fans respect and recognize that that's the case. Roger Goodell, on the other hand, has got to balance everything else out.
Mark Cuban on Mike and Mike. NBA Celtics point guard Kyrie Irving planning to return from a facial fracture and play tonight against the Nets. Boston has won 12 straight games.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-222-9133. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-222-9133. That's 800-222-9133. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-222-9133. 800-222-9133.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $26.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Listen, I forgive you. That birthday shout-out to Lester might have been poorly timed and mildly dangerous, but doggone it, you put your heart into it. Besides, forgiveness is what Progressive is all about. That's why our loyal customers enjoy accident forgiveness at no extra cost. So, I forgive you. Even if Lester and the fire department don't. Or the improv troupe. That was bad.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Accident forgiveness not available in all states or situations.
Welcome back in, 4:37, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you to 7 o'clock tonight. A $30 gift card could be yours to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We're going to put that in your hand sometime before 7 o'clock tonight. Taking a look at the Hertin and Stocker text line, and Mike from Marengo coming through with what may be the text of the day. Iowa State fans remind me of my ex-wife. No matter what you say, they are never happy. You could probably apply that to a lot of fan bases. And we've got somebody on the text line that says, we're beating up on Iowa State. How about giving credit to Wisconsin-Milwaukee? No. No. You know, the 15-point underdog? No. Not everybody gets a ribbon. I don't need to make Wisconsin-Milwaukee feel good about itself for doing what it was supposed to do. Look, they came in last night, and they weren't scared of Hilton Coliseum, which is this building that, look, I buy into it, just like Kinnick Stadium after 4 o'clock at night, okay? There's something about Hilton Coliseum. A lot of big games take place there. A team from the Horizon League came into that building and was like, yeah, no big whoop. That's a story. And the story isn't that the team from the Horizon League came in there and played that way. The story is that Iowa State let that happen on its own court.
As Fran McCaffrey usually says, that yeah, there is something a little bit different about Hilton, but usually it's because there's a good team on the court. The home team is usually a good team. I think that might be part of the reason that it didn't quite have the effect that it usually does last night, because the quality of the home team might not be as good as it has been in the past 6 years.
All right. Is he on the line here? Do I have to explain myself and take time away from the text line and upsetting everybody today? The UNASH comes in here and goes, you're feisty today. And look, I'll get into that 5 o'clock hour. We'll get into some personal stuff here. But Jeremiah Davis. Jeremiah, what did I promise you the last time that you were on with us?
Intro music.
Yeah, and you're not. What did you not get today just now?
I apparently didn't get my intro music.
Yeah, I know. I love to be a man of my word, and I'm working on it. I said the next time, and the next time came around a little too quick. By the way, I think I heard you last week on the gym class, right?
I did. Yeah, you did.
It's like walking into a bar and seeing your girlfriend or your wife sitting at a table with someone, but that's okay. There's no possessiveness here in this relationship. Why didn't anybody want to talk about Wisconsin today in Iowa City with Kirk Ferentz?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not 100% for sure. I know my role there today was to look ahead to Purdue, so I filled that that job description. I can't really speak for anybody else there. I think that maybe there was an anticipation of not long answers from Kirk Ferentz. Either that or there wasn't much else to go over. I was not at the game. I was in Ames covering Iowa State, Oklahoma State, so I didn't have a chance to talk to Coach Ferentz after that game, but I think everybody's eager to move past what happened Saturday because it was no fun for anyone, whether you were for or against the Hawkeyes.
Jeremiah,
or just a casual observer.
Let's reflect on the past 3 weeks. The Minnesota game was somewhat of a lackluster performance in a victory. You had the Brian Ferentz press box incident. And then you go the next week and you see this team beat up on the number two team or the number three team in the country, according to the AP poll in Ohio State. And then one of the worst offensive performances in the history of the program against Wisconsin. Do these last 3 weeks kind of sum up what we've seen from this team in 2017?
I think so. Figure out who they are, and when you do, get back to me, because I can't figure it out. I don't know if anybody else can either. It's shocking to me that a team that did what it did against Ohio State could be that inept against Wisconsin. That's not. I don't want to take anything away from Wisconsin. They're obviously a very good football team, but I think if you lined up Ohio State and Wisconsin right now, which we might get to see in a couple weeks, I think you'd see a pretty different game than what we saw against, in Iowa and Wisconsin. So I don't know. You look at consistency issues and you try to figure those out. And I think the offensive line play is emblematic of Iowa's results overall. They played great against Ohio State. They did not play great against Minnesota or Wisconsin. And as a result, the offense was what it was in those corresponding games. I hate to be too simplistic or blame any individuals, but it just feels like it starts there anyway.
Kirk was asked today about the lack of consistency offensively, and he said he couldn't put a finger on it. Can you?
No, and I think that's a fair answer from him, because he's probably trying to figure it out himself. Because it doesn't really make any sense, like I said, to go from so frustrating, so frustratingly bad that your offensive coordinator is on edge, to as good as it's ever been, to back to the worst it's ever been. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you have the same guys out there. They didn't lose anybody offensively, any major injuries in a week's time. Nate Stanley's still the quarterback. Akram Wadley's still the running back. Same offensive line. So I think it's a fair answer. I think that they don't really know right now why. Otherwise, the consistency wouldn't be that off kilter if they did. Kirk Ferentz, his teams generally aren't this up and down. It's a sort of a hallmark of his time at Iowa, where you can at least expect or know what to expect going into any given week. And right now, we don't really. And I think that's a pretty new thing.
What, if anything, we're talking with Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette as Iowa gets ready to play Purdue in the regular season home finale at Kinnick Stadium. They still got to go to Nebraska on Black Friday. What, if anything, was said of special teams play and the letdown in that facet of the game last weekend?
Very, very little. My colleague Mark Morehouse.
Oh, that's reassuring.
Asked that question, and Kirk basically he gave a pretty short answer. I'd have to look back at the transcript to quote him exactly, but essentially it was, we're not really sure, because Mark was like, what's going on there, and Kirk was like, yeah, we're not really sure, and said something about Matt Vandenberg being missing a little time last week, and that might be why. This and this and this, and then that was about it. He wasn't going to elaborate and seemed a little tense when he answered that question, which to me suggests that he obviously is very frustrated by that, and with good reason. It's been a pretty woeful part of, in the losses, the special teams have been, pretty bad, and, the punting has been an issue all year, of course, but kick returns added to that in the last couple, or this last week for sure.
How much of a problem kind of has that been, especially with the lack of consistency offensively? The punting game, that's been a reoccurring theme. The punt return game kind of reared its ugly head against Wisconsin on Saturday.
Well, on the defensive side of things, when you're punting and you give the other team such good field position, that opens up their playbook, right? And which puts more of a strain on your defense. And, you know, I'm not saying anything that's any, it's too inside baseball or, you know, for lack of a better term, or anything you guys don't really know. It's, and then on the flip side, you know, Nate Stanley doesn't have the full playbook yet, right? Early, you would think he would by this time, but I think that's been pretty well established that they're easing him into it. And when you start them backed up and the offensive line isn't, you don't know exactly what to expect from the offensive line, your playbook becomes limited. So it's just, it's all about the options you are afford yourself, both offensively and defensively, through that field position. And they haven't been on top of that field position battle hardly at all this year.
I know a little bit was said about this week's opponent, Purdue. They started off pretty strong this year, and then they've been backsliding a little bit. But Kirk Ferentz definitely seems aware that that things have changed there in West Lafayette, as far as especially on the defensive side of the ball. I know he talked a little bit about that today, but mm-hmm. What specifically did he say about the Boilermakers as far as preparations go against the defense?
Well, I think one of the things he talked about and I asked about was their attitude, right? Because Purdue in the last few years has just not been good, and there's lots of different reasons why that's the case. But this year they've been in every game. He mentioned that. They have a different attitude about them. They play with a lot more confidence and a lot more aggressiveness, which you couldn't really say about them in years past. Anybody who watched that game last year would confirm that as well. You know, and he talked about their offense being multiple and offering lots of different looks that you have to be ready for. You know, Jeff Brohm is an excitable guy. He likes to have fun. He likes to keep those guys at a high level, and they've responded to it. They don't have a great record, but they certainly are competitive, and that's the biggest difference, right? You're looking at a team that wasn't really in games before this and didn't really seem to have a hope walking in, kind of walked in defeated. They're not that way anymore, and they're going to walk into Kinnick the same way. I mean, it's not a pushover on Saturday. I mean, the Hawkeyes should win. Yes, they're favored by, I think, 7.5 right now. That seems like the right number, but if they're not careful, it's going to look like the Minnesota game did.
You touched on it. Kirk touched on it. The biggest difference with this team, this Purdue team, is their defense. It has been much improved from last year. Having said that, is this a dangerous matchup, Purdue's defense against Iowa's reeling offense after last week?
Well, I think anything has to be considered dangerous at this point, right? Coming off 66 yards, I think it would be fair to say that no matter who they were playing, it would be a dangerous matchup. But yes, they throw a lot of different things at you and aren't afraid to do so. When you're multiple on both sides of the ball, that means that you're being taught a lot of different things. And when you succeed while being taught a lot of different things, that means you're capable of a lot of different things. I know that sounds pretty simple, but not a lot of teams can put transfer the classroom to the field in terms of film study and playbook. And it seems like, anyway, Purdue is on its way to being one of those quality teams that is able to transfer the two. They're not all the way there yet. There's still a lot of ways to go, and Jeff Brohm said that today in the teleconference, but the signs are there, and that's all you can really ask for in year one when you're, you know, in a massive rebuild.
How about this for you, Jeremiah? Is this going to be the one and only time we see Jeff Brohm at Kinnick Stadium? What do you make of the talk that perhaps other programs, especially one in the SEC, could possibly be eyeing him?
You know, I kind of liken that to the Matt Campbell talk for the SEC. Why start over again after 1 year if you're Jeff Brohm? Why go into, you know, the fire pit that is the SEC, especially the SEC East, SEC West, when you're, you know, looking at Alabama and LSU and Auburn and all of these other teams? Why subject yourself to that when you can play in the Big Ten and make them? He's not that far away from making Purdue at least competitive. They can challenge for, you know, 7-8 wins fairly soon, I think. You know, they're at 4 now, so I don't know what, the grass is always greener, right? And the SEC always seems to get the top billing in terms of where coaches want to go or seem to want to go, but I'm kind of on the side of a couple columnists, including a colleague Mike Loss, who have said, I don't know, maybe look at how Butch Jones and Jim McElwain have been, you know, how their times went. You know, you get zero time to make things turned around if you don't right away. you're out. So why not give yourself a little wiggle room at a place that, you know, Purdue does have a good tradition. They have, you know, Joe Tiller was no slouch, and he built a high-quality program that unfortunately has fallen by the wayside. I don't see any there's plenty of cachet, I guess, is what I'm saying, for him at Purdue to stick around. I don't see him leaving right away.
Cachet, but not cash. I know you're going to appreciate this. You asked why Brown would make that move. I'm going to quote Smokey and the Bandit here. Do you remember? You've seen that movie, right? Smokey and the Bandit, Burt Reynolds?
I've seen parts of it. I've never seen the whole
There's
thing.
A part where Burt Reynolds is trying to convince Jerry Reed, who plays the snowman, that he's going to make this run with him. And he says they're going to do it for the money, they're going to do it for the glory, and they're going to do it for the fun, but mostly for the money. If he gets more money, significantly more money from a place like Tennessee, I think maybe he makes that move. Okay, I'm sorry that we didn't give you any music today, but did you come prepared?
I did.
Okay, here it is. I hope this is about the Xfinity series. I don't know what it is. I never preview. There's no prior review with Jeremiah's 90 seconds of NASCAR. It's just the floor is yours, Jeremiah.
Well, it's not about the Xfinity series. It's about the Cup series. But what we saw on Sunday with the final race to get into the championship four with the Monster Energy Cup series was Chase Elliott, son of Bill Elliott. He got into or moved up Denny Hamlin up the racetrack, and he hit the wall. And it seemingly was payback from Martinsville, where Denny Hamlin basically just wrecked Chase Elliott and took him out of a chance to win the race and therefore lock himself into the championship four. What I found interesting about the whole situation is the perception that follows a race car driver depending on whether or not the fans like them and what they do on the racetrack. When Denny Hamlin wrecked Chase Elliott, he was universally reviled among the fans who seem to have adopted Chase Elliott. When Chase Elliott did the same, both at Martinsville to Brad Keselowski and to Denny Hamlin at Phoenix International Raceway, he was cheered. So it's funny watching sports and watching how fan favorites get treated and their actions, or with their actions. And so I think we also know now that Chase Elliott's going to be the next in line after Dale Jr. retires for the most popular driver. So the championship four should be a lot of fun, and Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin aren't going to be part of it, but it was an interesting way to get there anyway.
Alex, can we get a ruling? What was the timing?
1:18.
Oh, it's the closest we've come yet. Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, 90 seconds of good NASCAR talk. We appreciate it as always.
Thanks, fellas. Have
still,
a good one.
Still leaving time on the table.
Should have asked him about Pop-Tarts.
No, what I should have done is I should have asked Jeremiah, does he think I know who Bill Elliott is? And what do you think his answer would have been?
No.
The actual answer is yes, I do know who Bill Elliott is.
Well, what I think his answer would be would be no.
Probably the last time that I watched NASCAR. Bill Elliott and Richard Petty and some of those guys were still active. 4:53, I'm going to step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another big board update for you. Hour number two, right around the corner, we're going to play Kirk Roulette with audio from Kirk Ferentz's news conference earlier today. And then at the bottom of hour number two, we'll talk a little something that one of our callers may have left on our doorstep here in hour number one. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, and anywhere online, kgymradio.com, or on your phone, go to the Google Play or the iTunes Store, search for KGYM. You can download our app. It's absolutely free. Back with more after this.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to kgymradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great, and we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank. Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
This is what I love about this show and integrating social media into it and all of the aspects of 2017, because I referenced earlier on today a quote after the Ohio State game about faith is always strongest after the fact. And the person who tweeted that to me not weeks ago has went back and favorited their own tweet so that it would pop up in my timeline. So they are listening, and they know that I referenced that, and they want me to acknowledge the fact that they were the one. I'm not going to do it. But if you go to my timeline at Todd Bromelkamp, you could probably figure out who it is. He works with Jeremiah at the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and he doesn't cover NASCAR. That's all I'll say. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
Kirk Farron spoke with the media in Iowa City today. He says safety Amani Hooker has not practiced this week, and while he doesn't want to officially rule him out yet, he admits his likelihood of being available is decreasing by the day. The UNI men's team had much more success against Alcorn State than it did against North Carolina, claiming its first win last night, 73-45 in Cedar Falls. Juwan McLeod led with 18 points, all those coming from the three ball, while Tywan Pickford and Bennett Cook logged double-doubles, 16-10 and 11-13, respectively. Iowa State, however, will have to wait at least a couple more days for its first win. They fell last night to Milwaukee inside Hilton Coliseum, 74-56. It was the first loss in a home opener since 1997, and not to pile on, but it really wasn't good. The Cyclones turned the ball over 18 times with only 5 assists, shot 38% from the floor, and were out-rebounded by a school picked 8th in the 10-team Horizon League. The good news is that Iowa State wasn't even at full strength, and we'll hope to have Cameron Lard and Hans Braes back for the Puerto Rico tip-off later this week. We had so many weekly awards for various Hawkeyes yesterday, I didn't even mention Iowa State's Bridget Carlson being named the Big 12 Women's Player of the Week. We'll have her and the Cyclone Ladies on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, taking on UNI right after our show. And as Todd and Alex have already mentioned, there's a lot of good college basketball tonight. We're gonna join top-ranked Duke and number 2 Michigan State in progress from the Champions Classic in Chicago, followed by number 4 Kansas and number 7 Kentucky. Those are going to be on the North and South Gym FM frequencies.
I like Duke in the first game, and in the, you know what? I want to see what Kentucky's got against Kansas. I think I'll take Kentucky. I bet they're probably getting some points. Hour number 1 in the books. Hour number 2 is next.
If you could get rewarded for sleeping, would you? What about for sitting on a bench looking out at the ocean?